All right. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 will be our springboard today. I will say, I know us guys really enjoyed going down to the conference, and we enjoyed that so much. And fellas, I think it'd be appropriate if we appreciated our pastor who took us down there, right? For sure. So we thank you for that, pastor, and we pray that what we heard will affect our homes even starting today and tomorrow, for sure. So, but Ephesians chapter 2, I know it's been a long week. We've traveled a few miles, sat in a few services, and if there's only one thing I learned this: the ears can only take in what the seat can endure. So y'all get that later, but either way, we'll try not to be too long, but at the same time, be here in Ephesians 2. Well, I do fear every once in a while, you know, as you start a message, you kind of hopefully have some sort of introduction, and I got none. So we're just going to dive right into it. So Ephesians 2, just the first verse, Ephesians 2, 1, as was already preached on, so we won't labor it a whole lot. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And I'm convinced that many times when we've been saved, or I grew up in church my whole entire life, we can forget where we came from, but we can forget what we were and the fact that we were dead. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we deserved it. We did it. We're the ones who broke the law, right? And so many times as we start, it's going to be basic, but at the same time, I usually have problems with the basics, not usually the things that are so big and hard to understand in the Bible. It's really kind of like the song that we picked. I think Brindley picked it: "Trust and Obey." You know, if we just did that, we'd probably be pretty good. So let's work on the basics just a little bit this afternoon. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. We thank you for the messages. We thank you for the Sunday school hour this morning. God, we thank you again for what we heard this last week through revival, and we thank you for the messages that you gave Brother Waterloo. And God, for us men, we thank you so much for the conference we were able to go to, and we thank you for the safety and just the energy and the stamina that you gave us to do all those things, and we thank you for it. But I do pray that you'd help us tonight, help us to look in your word, and help us to be helped. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God has made us alive, all those who have trusted him for salvation, because we were dead because of our sin. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We are, in our lost estate, we are born sinners, so therefore we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. We were a dead man from the beginning. From the very beginning, we were already dead. And I was dead, and not only dead, but what we find is that we're in bondage to sin. John 8:34 says, "Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So not only was I dead, but man, I was a slave to sin. I was slave. It was my master. Sin was my master, and I was dead to that. So I was a dead slave to sin. And again, we know this, but we deserve to pay for that sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." I enjoy getting a paycheck, but I don't enjoy that paycheck. But I deserve it. Because I was dead, because I'm a slave to sin, because of those things, because I broke the law. Remember, it was the book of James that talks about if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. You know, we like to talk about it every once in a while. Usually at men's conferences, we like to talk about that, man, it was Eve that ate the fruit, right? They didn't preach on that, all right? Don't worry. And I usually say this, that if somehow through the generations we were still in the garden, it would have been this guy that ate the fruit, right? And truly, we like to go, them sorry reprobates. Well, it would have been us, probably, had it been us in the garden as well. But we were, and we deserve to remain dead in our trespasses and sins. And for all of eternity, to die in those in that state of death and hell for all of eternity. But I'm so thankful that in Romans 5, 20 and 21, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you thankful that it wasn't that I had to get all cleaned up and try to fix my mess so in that way maybe God would start loving me? No, at your worst, he already was loving you. Before you could ever even try, before you were born, before you were ever thought of, he already loved you. And he cared about you. And he made a way for us to be saved, to be made alive. We were deserving of that. But I'm so thankful that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We better just stop and just say it, man. I'm so thankful that salvation's not a hope so, maybe so, or I don't know. But we can know that we're saved. So though we deserved hell, though we were in bondage, though we were dead slaves, God loved us and God made a way for us to be saved. And when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, at that moment, that's where Ephesians 2:1. God made me alive, and you hath he quickened. He made you alive. That resurrection power at the moment of salvation, for us to try and comprehend everything that happens at the moment of salvation, I don't even know that we could. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was a sinner, now I'm justified. I was a citizen of hell. That's what I deserved. And yet at that moment, now I'm a citizen in heaven. At the moment of salvation, everything changes. And while I was dead, at the moment of salvation, God makes me alive by the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And while everything in that moment changes for a saved person, the truth is that we'll all fight a battle for the rest of our life. You see, as different as it is going from death to life, one of the craziest parts about it all is that sometimes we kind of like that dead guy. It must be, right? Isn't the battle there every day, a moment by moment situation that we're battling? Hey, no, I'm made alive in Christ, but every once in a while, man, I really like kind of dragging up that old dead guy again. And there is that battle that rages and will rage the entire time that we're in heaven. And so one day we are looking forward to the fact that that battle will be over. The battle of, hey, remember Paul? Paul, one of the good Christians in the Bible, right? And he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do those. The things I shouldn't do, I do those. He was just like us. The fact of the matter is that we're made alive, but yet many times we like to drag that old dead guy back up. Let's look at Romans chapter number 8, if you'll turn over there. Romans chapter number 8. This battle that we face is truly a moment by moment battle that is raging inside of us. And as we look at Romans 8, we'll read a few verses here. Romans 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So let me just tell you, that doesn't work. I was looking at that and I was like, Lord help us, because I don't remember where I was headed with that. All right. Hey, that looks much better. Romans 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we're reminded that this battle is the truth. Here's the battle is between our flesh and walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And that is the battle that we face even after we're saved. This battle between our flesh, that old dead guy, and our spirit. It will be a battle. The battle that rages every day. The flesh is us living our life as if we're still dead. Now think about that. We've been made alive. He hath quickened you who were dead. We've been made alive, but when I live in the flesh, listen, hey, I'm just living like the old dead guy. Listen, because of Christ, I'm not dead, and I'm not a slave anymore, but living after the flesh is just pretending like I am still that same person. It's pretending. Because listen, I'm made alive through Christ, but sometimes I'm going around trying to fake it like I'm still the dead guy. Well, that's dumb. Correct. It is dumb. But yet we do it. We have been made alive. And many times we're going around our life just pretending like as if we're still dead. But the change has happened. Now the problem is that God tells us exactly what the works of the flesh are. You see, we have this battle that's raging. Are we going to live in the Spirit? The fact that I've been made alive. Am I going to live in that? Or am I going to live after the flesh? Well, here's the truth. It's kind of like in the Old Testament where it talked about, I said this in Sunday school today. You remember that passage of Scripture where they stood before Israel and they say, "Hey, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death," right? And so here's the choice. Here's the choice you have, and God gives them the answer, right? Therefore, choose life, right? So we have this choice that we have to make. Am I going to live after the flesh, or am I going to live after the Spirit? Am I going to do these things of living in the flesh? Well, in Galatians 5, turn over there. That's what tells us exactly what these works of the flesh will lead to. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And when we think about this, listen, that's what we were in bondage to. That's what my master was. All I can think about every once in a while is I think about, you know, kind of one of those dead zombie guys, right? You know, right? I know I'm a weirdo, okay? Tell me something new. But I mean, that's what I think. I think about that dead guy just walking around. But not only that, I think of the big ball and chain that he's dragging along. Well, who's that? Well, that's his master. Well, who's his master? Sin. So here we are. This is how we're living life. Now, I know it's dramatic, but we're walking around because we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and I'm just walking around, sin, here, I do this. Yeah, I do this. Oh, I got to do it because it's my master. And what happens is then that's where the adultery, the fornication, the drunkenness, all of those things, that's what we're living for. And the problem is that sometimes we're still pretending like that's our master. But he hath quickened you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Listen, those were the works of the flesh. Those are the things that when we're not walking with the Lord, that's what we're doing. And that's what our life will lead towards. This is what our flesh will produce. Not maybe, but will produce. If I'm walking after the flesh, this is going to be where I'm headed. But we don't have to pretend like we're still dead slaves, because we're not. We're not. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So because God hath quickened us or made us alive, I can walk in the Spirit. I can walk in the Spirit. Why would I pretend to be that dumb dead guy in bondage to sin? But here's the truth. We do it though. We have a choice moment by moment. Am I going to walk in the Spirit? He's made me alive. And I can walk in the Spirit, or I can walk in the flesh. And that is the battle. It reminds us in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can live in the Spirit, but not only can, but I'm supposed to live in the Spirit. But if it's a battle, how can I win? How can I win? Philippians 4:13. That's where something like that comes into. Not I'm hoping for the Ferrari. Well, I can do all things through Christ. All right, your mind doesn't work like mine. But many times that's how we'll use that verse. People will use it. Well, I'm going to go up and I'm going to hit a grand slam today. Why? Oh, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, when you're walking with the Lord, that's when we can walk and we can do all things through Christ. So this battle is raging. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that helps us to walk in the Spirit. So it's not a power that's lacking. It raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. It's the power that raised you from the dead when you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Listen, it's not a lack of power. It's whether I'm using God's power to walk in the Spirit. Now, how are we going to walk in the Spirit? Ready? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So if we're to walk in the Spirit, just go over these real quick. Here's what we're going to need to do. Stop lying. Stop being sinfully angry. Stop giving Satan a place in our lives. Stop stealing and start working. Stop having a corrupt mouth. Start building others up. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop offending the Holy Spirit. Stop being bitter. Stop being wrathful. Stop being angry. Stop complaining. Stop speaking evil. Start being kind and start forgiving. Now, why should we do those things? Because we're to be holy. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." So as we're working on this battle, and as we're fighting the battle and trying to walk in the Spirit and trying to put away those things that are not what God would have us to do, and trying not to do the works of the flesh and doing all those things. Now what we try to do, so we're dead. So there we are, just dead and in bondage to sin. But God made us alive. And we can't be walking in the flesh. We got to be walking in the Spirit, not doing all those things that our flesh will lead us to, but walking in the Spirit of working on being holy. Why? Because God is holy. And that's what our struggle should be, is that we're trying to be holy. And during that, listen, then what will happen when we're working on being holy is that the fruits of the Spirit will come. Galatians 5, going back there. But in Galatians 5, we just started with the works of the flesh, but it very clearly also tells us what walking in the Spirit and what the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here's the thing. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are the things that will come in our life when we're walking after the Spirit. And let me just tell you, that's what I want in my life. Don't you want peace? Love? Joy? I look at the two lists, right? All the adultery and all that mess and drunkenness and lying and all that. I look at that, right? So it's a list again. We have this. Evil speaking, clamor, all that stuff over here. And then we got another list. Love, joy, peace. And we look at the list, and here's the problem. We stand at the two lists, and we're like, I don't know which one I want. Isn't that goofy? Isn't it goofy? We're headed somewhere here for a second, but come on. Isn't it goofy that we'll stand and we're like, well, you know, it is nice to punch him in the face every once in a while. I mean, we're looking at these two lists. You know, walking in the flesh, walking like as if I'm still dead. Like if that I'm the slave to that, and I'm looking at the list, or because I've been made alive in Christ, man, this is available to me. This is, the fruits of the Spirit is not a mythical basket of fruit. It can happen in our lives, and it needs to happen in our lives, and it is available for us, but many times we're struggling. Which one do I want? I'm just telling you, when I go to Walmart, the bakery and the produce in the same section, really? Yeah, that's a turnip. That's a cake. That's asparagus. Ugh. That's cupcakes. And that's silly. But how many times are we doing that with the works of the flesh? Or walking in the Spirit? Now, one day we're so thankful that the struggle between our flesh and the Spirit will be done away with. Our heavenly home will not be a place where we're still battling. And for those that are saved, our spot is reserved. As Pastor mentioned, we're already seated there. You see, we were dead and a slave to sin. But because of salvation and God's power, we don't have to ever be that anymore. So as we think about it, we have this week coming up. And I mentioned this to Pastor, but this week is on Thursday, as we observe the Lord's Supper, as we take a moment and we pause at the cross. You know, a lot of times we like to pass over the cross quickly to get to the resurrection. And I'm thankful for it. We should. I mean, that's what we're talking about today. But I'm telling you, we need to stop and pause at the cross and be reminded He took my place. Everything that He suffered, everything that He went through, that should have been mine. So we think about the crown of thorns that was placed upon His head, was beaten into His skull. So we think about the cat of nine tails, the whip that came across His back. As we think about hanging on a cross just like a thief, we have to stop and say, that should have been me. And pause and be reminded that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And I deserved all and every bit and more than what Jesus had to go through on the cross. I deserved it. I'm the one who sinned. He didn't do it. I did it. And we have to take a moment and we have to stop and be reminded that the cross is what we deserve plus hell for all of eternity. But then we do continue on to the empty tomb. And we're so thankful that we can be reminded that because God sent Jesus and then rose Him from the dead, I can walk in the Spirit. That's the power that's available. Now, all of that for us to be reminded that we are raised up together. If we will all, as a church, individually go through that list of being reminded that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that at the moment of salvation, I was made alive. He quickened me. I was made alive, and though there is a battle between the spirit and the flesh, listen, through that power that He rose Jesus from the grave is the power that can help me to walk in the Spirit. And what our church needs is for all of us individually to fight the battle and to walk in the Spirit. And then as a church, to see what God could do through us. If you're walking in the Spirit, and if I'm walking in the Spirit, this place will be full of what? Love, joy, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And if we'll individually walk in the Spirit, which is possible, I didn't say it's going to be perfection, but if we'll walk in the Spirit, God can accomplish great things through our church. You know why? Because as Pastor mentioned today, if we'll all walk in the Spirit, we can't help but being unified. We just can't even help it. We're working on the fruits of the Spirit showing up in our life, and I don't want to be unified, but I just can't help it. It's going to happen. Now, can I tell you what happens a lot of times? And I know I haven't been in ministry a long time, but this is what happens a lot of time with God's people who are made alive and yet still trying to drag up the old dead slave that we once were. If I could illustrate it this way, there's that battle of, yes, walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And many times we're trying to do both. I feel that with every bit of my being, that I try to do both. Now I'm reminding of passages of Scripture where he says, no man can serve two masters. Am I going to serve the risen Savior who offers me power and the ability to have joy, the whole list of the fruits of the Spirit? Or am I trying to serve that old dead slave to sin? And what happens is this. What happens is whenever you're trying to do both, you fit in neither. You fit in neither. You see, what we can think in our mind is, hey, I got my church friends and my church people, and man, I enjoy being at church, but you know, on a Monday night, I enjoy working with the flesh, and I enjoy these things, and I'll try to fit in with the world, and I'll try to be with friends with them on those days, but you know, I'll be on Sunday, and here's what they find. Oh man, I'm going to have the best of both worlds. You don't enjoy either. You don't get to enjoy either. Because when you're with God's people and those who are trying to work in the Spirit and trying to walk after the Spirit, hey, you know, you kind of feel on the out, you know. Oh, you know, you guys are talking about things of the Bible and, you know, okay, that's great. But, you know, I really, really don't fit in there because I have an appetite for some of these things over here. And that, you know, they're just real judgy at church and I don't really seem to fit in over here. And then you go to the world and you're like, well, I don't really fit in with you guys either. That's cray cray. And you don't fit in with either. And you know what happens? You get tired. You get tired. And this battle that's taking place, yes, it will be a battle that we face, but listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what's interesting in Galatians chapter 5? Remember what happens in Galatians chapter number 6? Verse number 7, yeah, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Look at this, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You ever get tired? You ever get weary of trying to serve the Lord? I've been there many a times myself, and I've watched people walk out the back door of a church to never darken the doors again because they get tired of the fight. And you will always get tired of the fight so long as you're fighting in your power and in your strength. That the power that's available to us, it's so powerful that it rose Jesus from the dead. And I look at that, and I know this is, this sounds probably so goofy, but I understand a power that could raise Jesus from the dead because he was perfect. I know, I'm sure it sounds goofy, and I'm sorry, but just for a minute, I look at it and I say, that power, of course, because Jesus was perfect. He never did anything wrong. But the greatest promise of all is the fact that, yes, hey, that power is available for you today. You hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. So you look at this and you say, Mark, I got no idea what you're talking about. And that's on me. That's not on you, I promise, all right? That's on me. But as we think about this being risen together, and as we think about functioning together as a church, what we need is for each one of us to make the decision, God, with your help, I want to walk in the Spirit. I'm tired trying to do it on my own. I can't do it, and I just keep choosing the stupid flesh, and it doesn't make sense, but that's what I keep doing. And many times we're walking seemingly on our own. And if we can't figure it out here, we'll never be a great help out there. But if we can understand our position in Christ, yeah, I was a dead slave to sin. By God's grace, I'm not that anymore. And I want to function in the power that rose Jesus from the dead and not go after the works of the flesh, but the works of the Spirit, and follow God and do what He asked me to do, to be holy like He is holy. Then we could see God do something great in our own selves and in our families and in our church. And a church is only as strong as its weakest member. It's like a chain. We're all put together. Kind of like a dovetail. We're all put together. And it's not a lack of power. It's not the chief cornerstone. It's not the foundation that's the problem. The truth is, it's whether I'm going to walk after the Spirit or after the flesh. And what I need is God's help to walk in the Spirit. And if this side will do it, and if this side will do it, what can God accomplish through our church? Truth is, we don't even know. God already promised that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this place. But if we'll walk in the Spirit, God can do great things through us. Lord, we thank You so much for Your many blessings to us. And I do pray that You'd help us, God. I know it's been a long week. We've had so much Bible and so many messages and things of that nature. And God, I just pray that You'd help us. God, help us to walk after the Spirit. God, we're so thankful that that resurrection power is available for us, that we too can walk in victory in our lives if we walk after the Spirit. God, I thank You for this day. We thank You for each and every person who's come today. I pray that You'd help us to walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, as we stand to our feet, and just for a few moments, take a moment of invitation.
To walk in the Spirit, come on up and pray. We won't take long, but we'll give you time.